Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Guests appear on the Sportsbook at First Jackpot Hotline.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Fitz is going to join us at 12:25. We will talk to him about the NFL. And maybe I'll ask him about Fyre Festival. Because he's a music guy. Maybe he's seen it. And if he hasn't seen it, I'm going to put him on to it.
Because, y'all been talking about this all weekend.
Dude, it is. It's one of those things that's weirdly satisfying. Because it's like I tweeted. It's rich 20-somethings being scammed by a fellow rich 20-something and Ja Rule. That's what it was.
How old is Ja Rule now?
I think he's like in his 50s. Probably in his 40s. He's in his 40s.
Don't say Ja Rule ain't hitting on 50s.
Let's see how old Ja Rule is.
So y'all tell me Ja Rule is relevant again because of this.
Dude,
he's 40. He's 42.
I got things to say about Ja Rule when we talk about this.
Because I want to know.
We may save it for later in the show, but
he was washed.
Did you see the tweet storm he was on?
He's trying to act like a victim.
He said,
now.
I was hoodwinked, bamboozled, led astray.
That man is not a victim.
Y'all going to have to tell me about that.
Yeah, so we'll get into that maybe with Jason Fitz at 12:25. But right now, let's do the rundown.
Now, it's The Rundown, the biggest midday stories from Jason and John, everything y'all need on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Ladies and gentlemen, there is a new number one team in college basketball. That's right. It is Rick Barnes and the Tennessee Volunteers, and it's history because it is only the second time in program history that the Vols have been number one.
Man.
And as you mentioned, Jason, the last time they were number one, which coincidentally came after a win against the University of Memphis, as we all remember, they squandered it in a week.
Lasted for a week.
It lasted for a week, but it effectively only lasted for 2 days.
2 days. Yeah.
Because they lost to Vanderbilt at Vanderbilt that Tuesday, I believe. So they went here on Saturday. They get back late on Sunday morning. And they got the game on Tuesday, which they lose. So, or maybe
we talked
it was
about
Monday.
That with
it might have been Monday.
Pearl. We talked about it with Chisholm. Yeah, man, they were high in the sky after beating number one Memphis down, and rightly so.
Well, and the way that the schedule it was an unfortunate schedule, like
with the short break.
Yeah,
in between.
Because they had Memphis 1-2, so emotional, so tense, and then right after that you have I think that Vanderbilt team was ranked. I'm pretty sure that Vanderbilt team was like 17 or 18. So. That's a tough one to have on the road after you beat Memphis.
Look at you giving Tennessee Vols credit.
Well, I will say this about Tennessee. They're the real deal.
Oh, I don't think there's any, there's some debate about who should be number one today because, you had Virginia and Michigan both with chances to remain undefeated this weekend, the chance to sort of, catapult to number one past Duke, and they both lose. And there seemed to be maybe a sort of a hesitation by some to push Tennessee up.
Yeah.
No. They're the hottest, in terms of the teams that are up at the top, they're the most deserving. They've won 12 in a row at this point. You've probably got the best win between the one-loss teams, Virginia, obviously, now Tennessee and Michigan. You've got the best win of the three with your win over a Gonzaga team on a neutral court.
Absolutely.
That was number 5 in the country.
You're an overtime loss to Kansas away from perfection right now.
6 points. 6-point loss in that game. You're absolutely right.
And that was a neutral site. So that's what we're talking about here.
I know some people are throwing this Alabama result this weekend.
They won!
You don't penalize a team for winning.
Since they won the game.
I know it wasn't as good an effort as you've seen them sort of just blow the doors off all their SEC opponents so far this season. Yes, it wasn't. But you won the game, and you don't penalize a team for winning.
And if I'm not mistaken,
12 in a row now for Tennessee.
2 weeks ago, didn't Alabama beat Kentucky?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that happened. Mm-hmm. I'm not. I mean, I know that like Alabama's not a historically great basketball program, but they did just beat Kentucky, so it's not like they're a rat team by any stretch of the imagination. So I know everybody's throwing that up, you know. It was an impressive win by Duke over the weekend. Like I'm not trying to take away from Duke, but again, like,
yeah, to do that without Trey Jones.
Yeah, I mean, it was impressive. A super impressive win, no question about it. But Tennessee is appropriately the number one team in the country. I believe that's true. Listen. The duo of Admiral Schofield and Grant Williams, I would put up against anybody else in the country. Like, I would put that duo up against anybody else in the country. Because I know there's some talented freshmen, right? I know Duke's got the trio of Trey Jones and Reddish and Zion. Like, I understand that. But just in terms of a team that is built to make a championship run, that's Tennessee. They've already won on the road at Memphis. And I know Memphis isn't where they want to be yet. But Memphis is a hard place to win, regardless.
Mm-hmm. We're seeing that.
And they did it. They won at Florida for the first time in 7 years. So this team, I know everybody listening is like, shut up, like they want to throw up. But it's just facts. It's just true. That team is built for a championship. That team is built. They got good guard play. They're big. They got experience.
Experience is the key.
They are built. Like I'm telling you, we were talking about it last week. You can't do it now, I bet, but as of last week, you could still get Tennessee plus 1,200 to win the tournament. That is as good of money as you could possibly put into the tournament, Tennessee plus 1,200, because they're built for it. I just think, like, if you tell me, like, today, Tennessee's going to win the national championship, I 100%, Bowden, Bone, Schofield, mm-hmm. Williams, they got depth, they got good guard play, they're experienced, they're well-coached by Rick Barnes, you know.
There are times this season where Duke physically, and they have in games, they just dominate you to a point that you're looking at it as if, all right, that can't be stopped. But you have to remember, too, that I go back to one of the factors you laid out, experience. These guys are still freshmen, and if you needed any reminding of it, just take that game against Syracuse. You know, you lose at home. Fathom this. You lose at home to a Syracuse team that 2 days earlier lost by 14 at home to Georgia Tech.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's what. So
what?
While you're capable of looking like and being the best team in America with that monster, you know, squad at Duke, you're also capable of losing of bad losses like that.
Absolutely.
Again, that Syracuse team had lost to Georgia Tech 2 days earlier at home by 14, and you lose to Syracuse at home. And so, I know Trey gets hurt in that, and that affects the thing. But again, there's two sides to Duke. There's one that's very inexperienced that will at some point show its head, and usually does in tournament play. And so that's why I go back to what you said. Tennessee has everything, particularly the experience. And so, they deserve it. Congrats to the Vols today. And hopefully they can hang on to it longer than they did last time.
Yeah, I think they will. But they do play Vanderbilt this week.
Wednesday.
Darius Garland's not playing for them.
He's out.
Yeah, he's out for the year. I'm assuming Vanderbilt
they're decent and well-coached, obviously.
What is their record? They're 9-8. Yeah, so they're
average.
Yeah, they're an average basketball team. It is at Vandy, though. How funny would that be if it happens again?
Yeah, I mean, Vandy's 105, you know, at KenPom, and KenPom projects a 12-point win for Tennessee on the road there. So nobody's expecting that Vanderbilt team to be the one that did it. But if they did it again, shame on
you. That's a cruel joke.
Shame. That's not going to happen to you, Vols fans.
I don't think it will.
Congrats on being number one.
Honestly, like, real quick, I know you have some things you want to say.
I mean, I'm fine. I want to talk all day about Tony Romo, how good he is.
If you look at Tennessee's schedule on paper, there's no reason they should lose this ranking anytime soon.
They're projected to win all of the rest of their games at KenPom.
Next story.
Been a tad enough. Been a tad enough.
A little bit too much Vol call on here for you, Ben, isn't it? Yeah. And I would probably agree.
Well,
but you got to look.
They are the number one team in the country
is out of our state.
Yeah.
I know we can't stand them.
I just
and that's okay, but
whenever y'all pause, I feel like I have to hit the next story.
I thought you were just done with Vol call.
We've got to get a better feel for the next story on the rundown, Bennett. This is just something that historically we've struggled
with. Whenever there's a pause, I just feel like I have to hit it.
No. Well, we just both paused because we were like, they're projected to win the rest of their games.
Yeah.
My gosh.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
That is impressive because they do play Kentucky on February the 16th. They're on the road at LSU on the 23rd. They play Kentucky at home on the 2nd.
KenPom's got that 75-74 that at Kentucky on February
16th. Hey, did Ole Miss stay in? Did Ole Miss stay in, dog? That's what I need to know.
Why you want to ask tough questions like
that,
man?
Because I need to know. This is
I'm
your life's
I'm
going to
guess they stayed 24 because that LSU team was good. Give it to me.
I got to find out.
I thought maybe I could have pulled it up faster than you did there.
I thought maybe you would know, given that, you know, Ole Miss is.
Well, I was a little worried after our loss.
They
to LSU.
Stayed in.
We're at 24.
They only dropped two spots.
Told you. That's a good look.
They only dropped two. Man, they love Ole Miss almost as much as you do.
Did LSU come in? Because I don't have it in front of me. Told you.
25th.
Yeah.
25th overall.
My Rebels working, huh?
Houston is number 17.
That sounds weird even coming out of my mouth.
My Rebels working. Just because I got one dude from Memphis.
Just stop.
They beat Mississippi State Auburn same week. Give Kermit some credit. Look what he did for Nick King. We appreciate what he did for Nick King.
We do.
I mean, we do, and he's going to do the same thing for Dude Collum.
Look at the SEC, though. Look at the SEC.
SEC is
stacked.
Is great. Is great basketball.
Tennessee
now, all of a
and Kentucky are in the top 10.
Kentucky's turning a corner.
Auburn is 16. Might. Ole Miss 20. Mississippi State 22. And then LSU number 25. So like, they're on the way back up. SEC basketball. Anyway, interesting poll today. Tennessee is number one.
For the second time.
Next story.
There we go, Bennett. We're doing it.
I've said this before. Wish we could all be as good at our jobs as Tony Romo is at his. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, we've got a selection of clips where Tony Romo basically tells you what's going to happen last night in the Patriots and Chiefs games. It is uncanny. Some people don't like it. Mm-hmm. Because they think it's like Woj giving you the draft beforehand.
Yeah.
He's giving you the picks before the picks come out. Mm-hmm. And some people just want to see their plays, and so they turn Tony Romo down. But it shows his genius.
I mean,
it shows how plugged in he is to the game. And it just, for me, when you're watching one of the greats do Tom Brady, and listening to Romo sort of break down what's going through Brady's head right now, that is fascinating to me.
And frankly, because he's never wrong.
He's never.
It always happens the same thing. But everything he says is going to happen, happens. They're going to run the right, wide right. That's what happened.
A lot of people noticed it last night, and Bennett's got a selection of clips for us. Bennett, if you will.
They've got to go back to the Brady sneak or something, don't they? Oh, they're killing it. Usually means a motion and a run out wide to the right.
Run out wide.
Here's the handoff into the end zone. It's Sony Michel. Third and five.
Would have been ball game.
Gronkowski out wide. They've got to get him. He's your guy when it's one-on-one. They finally got him. There he is.
On the top of the screen.
If he's doubled, you're going to throw inside right here to Edelman. You just look up there and pick him.
Here they come after Brady. He goes down the field to Gronk. Turns around.
To Gronk.
Makes the catch.
As called.
He saw what you saw, Tony. With 4 yards away from New England taking back the lead.
They're going to run this ball. Kansas City's got to sell out.
There's a handoff to Burkhead. Burkhead pulls ahead and scores the touchdown.
Gronk's got a chip. Running back's got to help, so he has time to throw. Once again, Edelman in the middle of the field.
Pocket sealed. Down the middle. Edelman again with a third down
catch. It's amazing.
Gronk is out wide. Watch the top of your screen. Watch this safety. If he comes down, there's a good chance he's throwing out there.
It's Gronk.
It's Gronk.
New England tried to play action earlier. I can't see it here. This has to be a run.
Second goal to Burkhead. Burkhead to the end zone. Hello, Super Bowl. New England is heading back again for the third straight year.
Is that not amazing?
I mean, it's
captivating. To some people, it's annoying.
No, there's nothing annoying about that.
I don't think so. Right?
That is genius.
Yeah.
There's nothing annoying about that.
There was a time earlier in their you know, getting off the ground, Jim Nantz and Tony Romo, and that was last year, obviously, where they're just kind of learning how to be a tandem. And you could sort of, I thought, sense a little bit of resentment mm-hmm. with Nantz, right? Mm-hmm. Tony's handsome. He comes in, he knows a lot about football, and, you know, Jim's a handsome, proud man himself. And, you know, handsome men together, it can tend to be some resentment at times. But to the point. Jim's had to sort of give in. He's had to give in to the greatness that is Tony Romo in a broadcast booth. The man is going to break it down for you like a coach. And for as long as we can keep him on television, I think he's a treasure to the viewing audience.
I agree.
You know, if I'm some owner of a, you know, of a team, I'm thinking this guy'd probably be a pretty good coach.
Yep.
So I don't know if he'll get the pull. I don't know if he wants to do that. But the longer we've got Tony Romo calling football games, the smarter we will be for it, as far as I'm concerned.
Well,
I learned listening to Tony Romo.
You know, I saw this a little bit last night. It's not just that Tony Romo, like, knows what's going to happen before it happens. It's that he is so fired up about it.
His energy level.
He loves his job.
Some people think he gets a little giddy, like a little schoolboy.
I enjoy it.
The enthusiasm.
Yeah, man, I mean,
he gets a little corny at times.
That's the AFC Championship game. That's a huge stage.
The enthusiasm is genuine.
Yes,
and it
is.
Comes across,
yes,
and I don't see how you could hate on that.
Yeah,
when it's so genuine.
I mean, because
like he loves the game.
You got to think about it. Tony Romo's never experienced that as a player. You know what I mean? So like he's going to be fired up about it.
For some reason, I mean, Tony Romo at times was a lightning rod in terms of the criticism he would draw. You know,
called him a blowtorch.
I called him a blowtorch, and you know, the blowtorch would be a guy who blows it in the end. No, I don't, because that's what he was on a football field, and I sort of like it for him now. It's sort of fitting now that at a time, you know, during his career. It was always, well, is he good or is he bad? You ever going to win big with him or not? And now, in the second phase of his career, up in the broadcast booth, there is no debate. He is the best at what he does. And so he's come out of that sort of people questioning him, judging, you know, other than you fools out here say, oh, like, I can't stand how corny he is, and I don't want to hear the plays before they happen. He is fantastic, and we're learning from Tony Romo. I think it's great.
It is great. It is great. Are they not the best broadcast team in sports?
Now that Nance
Romo
is relent-
Nance, yeah.
Now that Lance has let him do his work.
Yeah.
And now you can hear Nance get excited when Tony's right. It's Gronk, Tony. You called it again.
I don't think it's annoying. Like, there's a difference in the draft and a football game.
Yeah.
You know, because Woj is telling you, okay, this is who your favorite team is drafting before it happens. Some people like the suspense. There's not really that much time in between a play happening and Tony saying that's what's going to happen.
Well, Woj is not making you smarter on how teams are drafting or necessarily the approach. He's just breaking the name, John. He's just giving you the name. Tony's breaking down the game in addition to prophesizing and telling you what's going to happen. So it's a completely different experience.
Did you see Bryce Harper's tweet?
No.
He said, just confirm, just call Tony Romo to see where I'm going to play next year.
Yeah, nobody wants him.
Hashtag you're a wizard, Tony. Turns out, in a follow-up tweet, he says, it will definitely not be the Cubs. So that was very interesting.
Man, that's the best news of the day.
Oh, really?
Yep.
You don't want Bryce Harper?
No, I don't.
Dude,
if I wanted him, I'd have been told. No, he's going to get too much money for what he will give you.
Mm-hmm.
All right? You're talking about, what, 270, 280 career hitter?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all power, strikeout. I don't want him. I don't want him.
Now,
Chris Bryant focused on being a better, not focused on being a best friend.
Do you think Tony Romo would be a good coach? Like, do you think a good broadcaster?
I don't know. See, yeah, that's the thing. It doesn't necessarily translate.
Yeah,
it'll like go from one or the other.
Because, yeah, you can call a play before it happens.
Like, well, John Gruden.
Well,
you can throw the rock, that's for sure.
Bennett, you are dropping dimes today, bruh.
What, I mean, dude, it's Martin Luther King Day, and you're gonna really do that?
Bennett, how you come so sharp on what's an off day for most people?
Mm-hmm.
My gosh, this man today.
You just gave me a low blow. I mean, on Martin Luther King Day, no less.
That's you like that?
No, I don't like that at all. John Gruden was not that kind of broadcaster.
Everything was good to Gruden.
Everybody.
Every play was possible on the next play when it came to trying to tell you what might be coming up next. Well, they could run it or pass it.
Yeah, you never want to narrow it down. You know, you never want to narrow it down. You want to leave all options
Who
open.
Who is that guy? Romo's. He makes Gruden look like a clown in the booth.
Yeah, I'm not sure, like, what value is there in being able to say, okay, this is what's going to happen on the football field in terms of being a coach. You know what I mean? Like, it's a cool party trick. You know, like, hey, they're about to run to the right. Hey, they're about to go to Gronk one-on-one.
The point is that he knows he could be a Belichick-type mind.
Right.
We don't know.
Right.
Right. The way he sees it, it's beautiful mind stuff. He could be there's a possibility he's that. Question is that – yeah, I realize that most professional athletes are super competitive, but you just wonder if for Tony, have you put it away? You know, is football is that little thing in you that's Mr. Competitive that wants you to keep going? Did you put that to rest with your playing today? Because that's the thing. You're going to get all the way back in. You're that invested again once you're on a team and coaching, just as invested as you were as a player. And I'm not sure that that's a life. You know, that's what Tony's got to decide, is if that's a life he wants again.
Yeah, no, there's no question about it.
He's got a good life right now. He's best at what he does.
Speaking of Martin Luther King Day, this is sometimes the other side of what this day. Means and has come to mean. Florida State football recruiting has photoshopped Martin Luther King onto one of their recruiting posters with him wearing a Nike Vapor glove saying, do something.
Yeah, that's a miss. I feel like that's a. I was gonna say misuse.
Is this appropriate? This ain't it, Chief. Is that the appropriate use there? This ain't it. Don't try to capitalize on Martin Luther King for football recruiting and put a vapor glove on him.
He don't recruit for you. If Martin's recruiting for anybody, it's all of us. Okay, that was the thing. All of us together, not for one.
The tweet, the responses to the tweet are pretty funny.
I can imagine.
Yeah, the best time to delete this tweet was immediately after sending it. The second best time is now. So anyway,
they should have asked Tony Romo if that was going to go over well.
Because he knows.
We would have told him.
All right, when we come back, Jason Fitz will join us. We will talk to him about Tony Romo. We will talk to him about the playoffs over the weekend. And we have two pair of Grizzlies tickets to give away later in the show. Make sure you stick around. These are lower level. These are Jason and I's personal tickets.
Oh, yeah, you're
going to
have to come get them quick, too.
For the game.
No, I'll take them down to the
That's a smart move.
Yeah, Jason, Bennett will take them down there so you can pick them up at Will Call, I'm assuming.
Well, that's so convenient of you, Bennett.
Yeah, look,
y'all need to thank the blanket today. He's rolling.
We're giving back today.
He's inspired by Martin Luther King.
Man.
All right, we'll come back with Jason Fitz. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Guests appear on the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Hotline.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Hi, we're back. Jason and John on 92.9 FM, ESPN. And every Monday at this time, we talk to Jason Fitz. Now.
It's ESPN's Jason Fitz, host of Spain and Fitz and SportsCenter on Snapchat. Listen to Jason every weeknight on 92.9 FM, ESPN and 680 AM. And hear him now live with Jason and John.
Fitz, what's going on, brother?
Boy, what a weekend in football. My God, that day. I love great games. We got two of them.
Now, historic. That delivered in a historic fashion. Let me ask you this before we get to the actual game. A lot of people have obviously been commenting on Tony Romo and his performance last night. Many people just in pure wonder about his ability to call out plays before they happen. I actually get depressed because I know that's just something that I'm never going to be able to do. How do you look at it?
I have got a, stage 5 clinger man crush at this point on Tony Romo.
I'm about the same boat.
The job he does. Yep. I mean, man, when he was – at one point, we're all used to seeing somebody diagram a play afterwards, right?
Right.
But when you're sitting there before the plays run and you're drawing on the screen and saying, hey, these two guys are going to come in here, they're going to chip in here, then the ball's either going to go there, depending on the safety, and then you see it happen, I mean, that's some Nostradamus stuff. Like, I was – all in on that. But the funny thing and the alarming thing to me is, my God, if he's sitting there telling you exactly what the Patriots are about to do, how do the Chiefs not see it? How do the Chiefs not adjust to it? So I thought it was interesting.
Fitz, if he could tell you the day that you're going to die, and he probably can, Tony Romo, would you want to know?
No,
I'd be scared because he'd be right. Yeah, I don't think I want to know, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would tell you, look, I would ask this. I'd be like, if it's in the next 3 months, let me know.
Right,
there's
that's
a lot
the
of
way
stuff
to do
I'd
it.
Want to
yeah.
do.
Yeah, yeah, that's the way but, to do
like,
it.
Yeah. Let me go to Greece, you know. Let me travel to Europe and stuff. But other than that, yeah, I completely agree. All right, of the two games this weekend, which fan base do you feel like is hurting more? Is it the Saints or the Chiefs?
I think it's the Saints, and you know, it all comes back to how we remember the key moments. And I've been saying this a lot. You know, I was just on the Dan Le Batard show hosting with Michael Jr. this morning, and I talked a little bit about the Tuck Rule game. And you guys know I'm a Raiders fan, and we all remember the Tuck Rule. What we forget about the Tuck Rule is that you know, that wasn't the end of the game. That was just the end of regulation. The Raiders had opportunities to make stops. They had opportunities to win that game. They had opportunities in overtime just to somehow extend it, and they didn't get that done. We don't remember that. We remember the penalty. And when a game's taken away from you by a bad call, you don't remember that Sean Payton should have run the ball and should have run out clock. You don't remember some of the egregious misses. You remember what the refs did to you. That's the lasting memory, you know. And then on top of all of it, it was the Saints losing to the Rams. I mean, Chiefs fans can hate the Patriots all day long. Welcome to my world as a Raiders fan, right? You can hate the Patriots all day long, but at least you can say, man, we lost to the Patriots in the middle of their dynasty. That's a little easier to take than knowing that, hey, we lost to a Rams team that's sort of upstart. So I think this one sits with the Saints for a lot longer, frankly, and this now becomes one of those what might have been eras. You know, how much do Steelers fans talk about how close they've been year in and year out, but they just continually hit that Patriots wall? Well, now Saints fans are going to remember this as the era where they found ways to lose, interesting ways to lose playoff games. And, you know, I've been there before as a Raiders fan when that era happened, and you never forget it.
What needs fixing more, Fitz? Is it the ability for the NFL to be able to assess a flag late, especially when it's so obvious, or is it, I'm hearing a lot of overtime rules stuff today, Fitz. I think I'm on the same train with you. I really don't want to hear it. But to you, and I'm thinking I know your answer, but to you, what's the bigger fix? What's the NFL got to fix?
Fix the penalties. I mean, 100%. Ultimately, we're giving coaches challenges, but then telling them when they can use them. Why? I mean, why do we care when Andy Reid chooses to use his 2 or 3 if he gets some right challenges? Right. I don't. I want to see the game get right. And within 2 minutes, the last 2 minutes, how often do we jokingly complain about the end of NBA games, the end of college basketball games, the fact that this whole, like, hack-a-shack thing takes forever for everybody? We joke about it, but we accept it because it's part of the game. In the last 2 minutes, I want the game to get more right than ever.
Exactly.
So give me a world where I don't care if they're looking at offsides penalties. Give me a world where they're making sure they get all of the big calls right. You know, that if there's a roughing the passer call where, you know, Chris Jones or Jones didn't even touch Brady's face. Like, if there's a roughing the passer call you want to look at, challenge it. I love that. And within the last 2 minutes, I love looking at all of it.
What do you think about the aesthetics of that, though? Because I do think we should all be in the spirit of trying to get things right, of course, and we do have the technology. But would that not already slow a pretty slow game down? I mean, if games are lasting 3 hours, now that they're going to start lasting 4 hours and 5 hours. And is that not already a problem for the NFL?
Well, I think that part of the activity in my mind, if I was fixing replays, I wouldn't have a ref go to the sideline to do a Microsoft commercial anyway. I mean, that's why else is he going to the sideline? Like, if New York is reviewing it, have the ref stand there, have New York quickly review it, look at it, and then suddenly make a ruling. Like, on the pass interference call, it would have taken New York all of, what, 30 seconds to look at
exactly.
it and then turn around and say, yep, that's right. pass interference, and then get in the guy's ear. Like, why he has to go to a monitor to watch it? Like they do in the NHL, like in hockey, let the league office take care of it. Let the league office look at it. Let them buzz down, consolidate the process a little bit. I mean, I think that you're right. Like, I don't want the world to get out of control where football games drag at the end. But I just know that for any fan base, I hate the mindset that you worked all season and you didn't control your final destiny. Mm-hmm.
Now, you tweeted about this last night, and I think you caught some flag for it, but I thought you were 100% on point. You know, yes, the Saints got robbed, the Saints got screwed, whatever adjective you want to use there, but they still gave up, you know, the field goal there at the end of regulation. They still, you know, Breeze still had the ball there, to start overtime. Yeah. So a lot of stuff had to happen still for the Saints to lose that game. I mean, it comes down to, you know, overtime rules or not, like, you got to get a stop. Your defense has to get a stop. I thought that was a valid point.
Well, and can you imagine – when you think about the end of that game and the clock management, specifically of Sean Payton, and the fact that he decided to throw the ball twice, if Andy Reid had done the same thing in the same situation, our top story today would have been Andy Reid still doesn't know how to manage the clock. Mm-hmm. I understand Payton gets some, you know, proof of concept. He gets some benefit of the doubt because of the coach he is. But Sean Payton blew the end of that game just as much as anybody else did with his play calling.
With the way that let's go back to the overtime thing. Are you disappointed that Mahomes doesn't get a chance to get on the field in overtime?
No. And you know, I said this to Mike today, and I heard the Golden Kawingo guys this morning talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people right now saying, okay, make sure that Mahomes at least gets to touch the ball once. Well, if that's what we want to do, you want to give Brady the ball, make sure Mahomes gets the ball. If we call that the end of single overtime and then all of a sudden they're tied, are we not going to give Mahomes the ball in double overtime? Like, when does that end? Are we going to turn into a college system now? Mm-hmm. If we want a college system where instead of getting the ball close to the end zone, they kick off and they want to let every drive answer every drive, maybe there's a conversation. But what if that goes on and on and on? I mean, especially if we make it a playoff rule, let's remember that there are teams that have to play on Sunday one weekend in the wild card round and then Saturday the following weekend in the game in the divisional round. You want somebody on limited rest that suddenly had to play another 20 drives because no defense had anything left in them? I mean, there's not an easy solution to this. And to me, it's either keep it the way it is or make it a 10-minute period and, you know, whatever happens, happens. But even if you do that, let's remember, the Saints had a 12-minute drive last week in the playoffs, so you're still not assuring anybody gets the ball. Like, play some defense. Man, no, like, just somebody play some defense.
We are, of course, talking to Jason Fitz. He joins us every single Monday. Catch him on Spain and Fitz every evening here on 92.9 FM ESPN. I mean, when the Chiefs have the ball inside the five with a little over 2 minutes remaining, don't you at least have to consider kneeling once?
Yeah, I wouldn't have had a problem with that.
I'm half joking, but, like, you cannot give the ball back to Tom Brady with 2 minutes left, because you know what is going to happen.
I don't disagree with that at all. I mean, I think that I was a little surprised. Look, you stay aggressive, you get the touchdown. I understand the mentality behind it, but, you know, I mean, I'm looking at that saying, let's just at least give ourselves as much opportunity to win the game as possible. And we credit players all the time for being smart about going, you know, have the opportunities for touchdowns, and they'll fall down at the end of the game because instead of the 7 points, you want the clock to run off. I mean, it felt like it was the inevitable right there. And, yes, I do agree. To be very clear, if the Chiefs had gotten the ball first in the overtime, I think the Chiefs would have won. You know, and I think the game was just trending that way. Yep. Nobody had any gas left in the tank. But, you know, there's got to be some sort of admittance of that from the get-go of, hey, nobody's got anything left in the tank. How are we going to win this game? And, you know, I don't think they did it right.
Tom Brady winning another Super Bowl, Fitz, what do you think? You think they beat the Rams?
God, I want to say no, but my God, they beat two teams that they're not as good as. Mm-hmm. Two straight weeks. I mean, I still believe that the Chargers and the Chiefs were the two best teams in the AFC this year. So, you know, they beat them both. And the fact that nobody has laid a hand on Brady.
Sacks yesterday.
No sacks at all, and no sacks the week before against the Chargers.
That's right.
So, you come in with a Chiefs team that was second in the NFL in sacks. They get nothing on Brady. Like, what are you going to do? I mean, Aaron Donald is going to have to play like we've never seen Aaron Donald play. And then if that happens, there'll be another conversation too, just like I always say in the NBA. Like, the only way that the Rams win the game to me is if Aaron Donald comes out and tells everybody he's the MVP, which is a reminder that we shouldn't vote for the MVP until the end of all of the entirety of the season.
No, I agree with that. Fitz, Jason said earlier today that he at least posed the question. And I think you believe that if Brady wins, he's going to ride out. Do you believe that? You think he'll do that?
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I would say it'd be a good time to.
Yeah,
that's what I would say.
On the side of I just don't ever believe he's going to retire.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to.
You're going to have to beat him into the dirt, huh, Fitz? And right, he's going to have to come out. That's what it sounds like.
I mean, do I want him to? Yeah, because I'm just like everybody else. I don't want to watch another dang Patriots Super Bowl, but, you know, we can't do anything about that. Like, do I think he goes anywhere? No. Like, if he wins, I mean, if you're the Patriots, what reason do you have to think you won't win again next year? I mean,
exactly.
This was their worst year in 9 years at 11-5.
And they couldn't win on the road, and they still got it done. Yeah,
I mean, they went into Arrowhead,
yes,
and they won the AFC Championship against one of the most dynamic offenses we've ever seen. I mean, I don't know what makes him walk away other than finally looking at it and saying, I don't think I have it left in the tank. And I don't know if Tom Brady has the ego or the lack thereof to ever turn around and say that.
Yeah, I don't think he's capable.
I'm curious as to what you believe about this, Fitz. I think there is a segment of the American population that has Patriots fatigue, you know, because this is his third straight appearance in the Super Bowl. We obviously know he's been there a million times. But I also think that it's good to have the Patriots in the Super Bowl because they are clearly for 95% of the country a heel, something to pull against. And I think that that is a good thing to have. I mean, if you think about professional wrestling, there's a babyface and there's a heel, and you kind of have that with Sean McVay and the upstart Rams versus the Patriots. So are they? Do you think that the Patriots, as tired as we may be of seeing them in this spot, do you think they're overall good for it overall?
Yeah, and you made the wrestling analogy, and I was thinking the same thing as you were first saying it. Like, you know, I watched a documentary a long time ago on Hulk Hogan, and he was talking about how if Andre the Giant hadn't basically become the villain and then allowed him to slam him, he never could have been the hero. And you know, it's like this scripted process where you got to have a good guy and a bad guy, and eventually the good guy has to win. Isn't that part of why the Philly special was so special last year?
Exactly.
Because they were beating Darth Vader. I mean,
no doubt.
Isn't that part of why, like, part of why we love this Clemson national championship team is because they beat Bama to do it. Like, we love seeing dominance defeated, and that's, you know, how much of America outside of New England is going to be rooting in this Super Bowl for the Rams? And so, you know, for the NFL standpoint, I think the league loves it too, because you want to turn Jared Goff and Todd Gurley and Sean McVay and, you know, a Rams team that frankly has some hard-to-manage personalities on the defensive side of the ball, has some guys that aren't known for being, like, you know, necessarily the sweetest, like, role model citizens, has some of those guys. But they will be the hero in this thing to so many people if they actually beat the big bad Patriots.
Yeah, it's there's no question about it. And then, Fitz, I wanted to ask you, because I know once upon a time in a different life you were a traveling musician. Have you seen Fire on Netflix? Like, have you heard about it?
I watched the Netflix one and the Hulu one, both.
Oh, you watched? I figured you would. What do you think about all of that? Like, I know you were, like, you've been booked for things. Like, so how different is that from what you've experienced in, you know, in your music career?
Well, I'm going to tell you, because, like, yes, I toured, you know, at least in country, I toured at the highest possible level. One of the things that I think is really interesting to me that nobody's really broken down is that, you know, this is in the weeds. I know it's minutia, but when you sign a deal to play a festival, they usually have to pay you half up front in the first 90 days. So if you don't get a wire in the first 90 days, you have a good idea that they don't have the funding.
Right.
And then they have to do another deposit 30 days out, and then your final deposit is day of. So all these bands that we're pulling out day of and weekend of, it makes no sense to me. Like, somebody somewhere had to know that the process was bad, and I still can't figure out how Ja Rule walks away from this thing with unscathed. I mean, like, Ja Rule was a huge part of it. He knows the business, and he knows that it was all going. And like, I get it. It's easy to blame the guy that, you know, that it's the scam artist and the con artist, but you can't watch that and tell me that Ja Rule isn't equally culpable for part of that blame to me.
No, he put his name on it. Like, I don't know how much credibility he still had, but he was the idea, right? Ja Rule's involved. Like, he's an artist, you know. I think that was a huge part of it.
Yeah, and he knows how artists get paid. He knows how festivals are put together. He knows what people should be looking for. Like, he knows all of that. And so any money that was taken in, like, I will be genuinely interested to see if they ever release what kind of money was taken from this and if any of it went to Ja's pocket. Because if it did, in my mind, he should be legally responsible for it.
Hey, which one was better in your opinion? I haven't seen the Hulu one yet. Which one was better?
I think the Hulu one was better because it was a deep dive into Billy, the promoter behind all of this. It was a really good deep dive into sort of his process. And it was a little bit more, how did we get here, and what happened leading up to it? So check it out for sure. I was a huge fan of the Hulu one.
Fitz, we appreciate it as always,
man. Thank you for this, brother. Keep up the great work.
Appreciate you guys. Have a great week.
Yep. He is Jason Fitz. Does it not pique your interest just hearing all that? I mean, it's Ja Rule.
Yeah, I was feeling a little left out. Yeah, so maybe you told me over the weekend, in fairness, that to get to see it with Faith this weekend, we just didn't get a chance. I plan to.
I want to see the Hulu. I don't have Hulu anymore.
I don't either.
So
right?
You're telling me there are two different versions? Yeah, but y'all were talking foreign language.
Check this out. So Hulu put theirs out early because they found out Netflix was doing one as well. Now Hulu has the interview with the Billy guy who put this whole thing together,
who's now in prison.
However,
he says is the better one. Fitz, he says the Hulu one's the better one.
The thing that I will say, and I haven't seen the Hulu one, I've only seen the Netflix one, they paid that dude to come on the Hulu one, which is kind of...
They did.
That's kind of fishy, man, you're paying that guy to have him on.
But the Netflix one was produced by the social media team that Fire hired. the F. Jerry Company.
Right.
So, I mean, there's you know.
They're all complicit.
It's a tangled, web we, it's a tangled web we weave.
It
yeah.
is, yeah.
But it's interesting because, you know, and I know there are probably some people who are like, what the hell are you talking about?
Well, I'm one of them.
So 2 years ago, there was a festival called the Fire Festival.
I remember that. I remember this news. Yeah. And Ja Rule was kind of in the middle of it, right?
He was.
Putting it together or whatever?
Yeah, he was an organizer.
Right?
Yeah, like, it was him and a couple other people.
I remember
And what they initially did was they hired a bunch of supermodels. And the highest of the high, like, name brand supermodels.
Okay.
The Bella Hadid, Emily Ratajkowski. You know, all those.
Somebody look legit.
No, all the legit supermodels, right?
Got you.
They bring them out to this this island in the Bahamas that Pablo Escobar once owned. That's a fact, by the way. And they get them to take all these pictures and drink all these drinks and party and whatever on the yacht and post about this festival on their Instagram accounts. And that's how they build the hype around this festival. And what you learn is, you know, they were obviously they were targeting the rich 20-something, the millennials, like the who have a disposable income, to come to this festival. Good music was supposed to be there. Kendall Jenner was supposed to be there. You know, Blink-182 was supposed to be there in this island of the Bahamas. And they never, like, everything was overpromised and underdelivered. They didn't have lodging. They didn't have plumbing. They didn't have
Did he have
food.
The actual acts in line at one point? Because you're advertising them in the months and weeks beforehand, aren't they?
They had agreed to do it. But they never got paid.
Clearly, I can hear that from Fitz.
So there was never like a threat of them actually performing.
So they pulled out day of. They obviously got the front money, but they didn't get the day of money.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Fitz was it doesn't
say anything about the money in the Netflix documentary. But it is super fascinating because there's footage.
Ja Rule got all the money is what you're
well we don't know if Ja Rule got the money. He got some money. He had to. I mean, this guy was raising, you know, tens of millions of dollars. Billy McFarlane, who's now in jail, obviously on wire fraud and other things like that.
So it's his brainchild, not Ja Rule's. It's
no
that dude,
Ja Rule
that dude.
And him collaborated on it. Like,
and Ja was more the face.
Billy was the brains.
Yeah.
Ja Rule was like the name and
the
guy.
Face and the face
now,
guy.
Why you would choose to go with Ja Rule of all people? Is a little weird to me.
But if for the most part, again, I got to get caught up. He's not taking any of the blame or legal. It's
Ja Rule is saying, Ja Rule is saying he was led astray.
Okay.
But when you watch the documentary, he was very much involved. Yes. And even at the end, you know, he's on a conference call with the team after it's all, you know, already blown to smithereens and it's a disaster. I mean, it was like post-apocalyptic on that island, bro.
Ja Rule has been around for a long time. That dude should have known better.
Oh,
like,
well, he's a scammer, too, because his rap career is non-existent anymore, you know, so he's just doing whatever.
He tried to act like he was all innocent in the whole thing.
No doubt.
Like, dude, come on.
Dude, you're lucky you're not in prison. Like, let's be real, like, given your level of involvement in it. Anyway, you should check it out, man. It's Fire on Netflix.
I will.
Do you have Hulu on
no,
that Fire
no.
Stick? Okay, you don't have Hulu.
I canceled Hulu.
I may have it on my new TV. I'm not sure.
Hulu.
I don't have the subscription.
Hulu's lacking, man.
Yeah,
let's be honest.
I'm going to get a Hulu subscription just to watch this documentary. I'm sure I can find it pirated somewhere. Anyway, there you go. All right, we'll come back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Guest appear on the Sportsbook at First Jackpot Hotline.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
You're going to be down at FedEx Forum for today's Martin Luther King game. Grizzlies against the New Orleans Pelicans. You're going to be hungry when you're down there. Why don't you go up to the top floor where you see Billy Richmond serving up the best wings in town at the Wing Guru, whole premium party boneless. However you like your wings, Billy's got them that way, and he's going to put the best premium flavors you have ever tasted on those wings, and you are going to be watching basketball and eating the best food of your life.
That's what happened on Saturday. I was there. I was there in the shadows, lurking like I always am.
Lurking.
Caught Memphis SMU, and of course, what would I do other than go to the Wing Guru before I get ready to watch the game? It's a tradition at this point. It's a routine. It's what you have to do. I went pretty standard on Saturday. Just got the hot, but even the hot feels like a premium sauce.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the experience at the Wing Guru.
$56.99 Mount Moriah, if you need it right now. Maybe you're on the Raleigh, Bartlett side of town, $71.99 Stage Road.
for you, for those of you over there. And listen, you can if you want to just, you know, stay in the pleasant confines of your own home and have the Wing Guru brought to you. Well, you can do that on DoorDash. Billy got you covered. When you see Billy Richmond, excuse me, you tell him that Jason and John sent you. Clean it up, Jason.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. The Grizzlies are in action in just a little bit, obviously.
Let's go.
4:30 against the Pelicans here in Memphis. MLK Day game. They're going to be on TNT. 4:30. No Anthony Davis. No Anthony Davis, at least, so that's something. We're looking for little victories at this point, just the teeny tiny.
Well, that's actually a big victory.
Yeah.
And
let's start with a teeny tiny victory. Okay, let's start
that's
there.
That's a big victory having Davis out for this team.
Yeah, the Grizzlies are not fun to watch.
Is that okay? Yeah. That's accurate.
I mean, I'm gonna be
what
honest
else you
with
got
you.
For us?
I'm gonna be honest with you, man.
It's hard. It is getting harder to break this team's problems down because you've been through it a million times.
I'm not gonna sit here and sugarcoat it.
Okay, but I mean, they were fun to watch on Friday night.
But are we gonna just skip over what happened against Toronto?
It was a good game. They should have won the game.
No, dude, they shouldn't have actually won the game.
Okay, well, they had a lead.
And then let's discuss.
They fought against Boston.
They had a lead. I feel like we're now discussing like a very short. A small person team in intramurals. They had a lead.
What I'm saying is Friday night's game and Saturday night's game, you put in two completely different categories from each other. You can't combine.
I feel what you're saying.
He's hurting right now. Hurt people hurt people.
I said go 1-1 this weekend, and damn it, they had a chance on Friday.
You really can't put them in the same category, man, because what you don't realize is, yes, it was a 6-point loss to Boston, but you're playing. That's the best you can play offensively.
Yeah.
The Grizzlies scored 116 points, which is something they don't do, right? That's not even their style, and they're playing something so far out of their style.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.